This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Well, welcome to Haystack Radio, Help Radio. This is not Scott Watley. This is a special edition of Your Money Matters, but this is Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage. Scott happens to be up in, I believe it's Alaska. He decided to go hunting because it was too hot here. He decided to get away from us. So he's up there having a wonderful time. We have a special guest on our show today. We've had him back here before. His name is Michael Hills, and he's with a company called Atlas Real Estate. Did I say that right, Michael?
You did, sir.
Okay, good. Michael is going. We're going to talk today about investing in property. Along with us, we have one of my senior loan officers. And I say senior not because he's been with me a long time. He's just old. So we kind of bring him along and Bob Cup.
Yeah, it's the white hair.
It's the white hair deal. So let's get right into the show. Michael, before we get started, remind people again what you do and how you got started in real estate.
Sure. So at Atlas Real Estate, we are focused on helping people achieve their long-term financial goals. So many people buy real estate because they want a house. They think that real estate's a good investment, but they don't do it with an end target in mind. So we really do it with an end target in mind. Like, what are your goals? And when I say goals, I'm being very specific. Do you want to send kids to college? Do you want to plan for your own retirement? Do you want income? Do you want to build wealth? What are you trying to accomplish? And we back into that way. I bought my first house September 1st, 2001, 10 days before September 11th, which was a terrible time to buy real estate. Except time is on my side. I still own that house today. And it's what for probably 10 years that I owned that house was an awful investment, turned into a fantastic investment. And let's use specific numbers. I borrowed $6,800 from my mom on what's called a gift letter. Those that are in the loan business knows exactly what I'm talking about. Borrowed that $6,800, bought a house for $145,000, was underwater immediately when September 11th happened. Was underwater through 2007, 2008, probably until 2011. Today, I think I owe $50,000 on that house, and it's probably worth $275,000. So a $6,800 investment, because I kept it, is now worth over $200,000 when everybody in my life was telling me, oh, you should sell that house. But I kept it as a rental, and it's been worth my while to keep the house.
See, a lot of people, me as an example, before I got to meet you, I had investment properties, and I was always told it was either one or two, and that A, I would buy a rental because it cash flowed, or B, I would fix it, flip it, make my money, and move on.
Yes, sir.
On the buying it for cash flow, I was taught by all these schools and all these different philosophies that after 5 years, you take your profits and you move on.
Yep.
Okay. You have a class once a month,
yes.
Last Tuesday of every month.
Yep.
I've been to it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And you are 180 degrees different than everything I was taught. Now, had I met you prior, I probably would not have lost as much money as I lost on the rental properties I had because I used that philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, if you can, explain a little bit of how you see buying investment properties kind of like as a financial planner would in investing in the stock market.
Sure. So I take it a step further and say, I look at each one of my properties almost like an employee. And what I mean by that is I have a rental property on a street called Birch and a street called Brunswick and Yosemite and 13th and Quebec. And each one of those is an employee. And what I do is I take them and I put them on 15-year mortgages. And I understand that I'm going to make very little cash flow today on each one of those properties. But when those properties are paid off, in terms of, like, I think of it like training from an employee standpoint, when I'm done, quote, training them or paying off the bank, now all of that rent is pure profit. I don't owe the bank anymore, and that becomes my retirement. It becomes my source of income. It becomes my college fund for my kids. And if you think about it, you know, I have a rental property right now where my mortgage payment is $1,500 a month, and my rental income is $1,750. So I make $250 a month. Which seems like nothing, but I only owe 7 years left on that house. When that is paid off, if those numbers never change, if I never make a nickel more than $1,750 a month, $1,750 times 12 months in a year is, you know, more than $18,000 a year. You do that 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times, man, you're talking about $150,000, $200,000, $250,000 a year in income that you can just live on the rents, and you still own the asset. Now, I'm not advocating going out and buying 8 rentals. It's hard to do, so it's baby steps. You buy one, you get comfortable with one, and then we do it again, and then we do it again. And this is like running a marathon. It's not running a sprint. You know, people say, well, you know, is it a get-rich-quick scheme? And it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It is like running a marathon. Think of the game of baseball. Baseball, if you get the most hits, typically you'll win the game. And I'm not saying that everyone has to turn into a home run. You know, first inning, second inning, third inning, you're getting hits, you're getting singles, you're getting doubles. But you know what happens? By the sixth inning, you turn around and you're like, man, I hit a bunch of singles through the first inning, through the fifth inning. You win the game. And that's what we're talking about. And I use that as an analogy for life, that let's play the game and play the game the right way, using good lending partners, using good bankers, using smart financial decisions. And if you do that over the long term, you know, 15 years as you're living it seems like a really, really long time. But ask anybody that has kids, ask anybody that has a little years under them. They say, man, 15 years goes by in a blink of an eye. And if you make smart financial decisions today, 10 years from now, it turns into a home run. And that's what we try to coach on.
So I would ask you the question, though. It sounds like a young man's game.
Sure.
And so when is it too late?
So I would say that it's almost never too late. And I've told this story on the radio before. My mom called me a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago. She was 63, 64. And she said, you know, Mike.
she called in.
She called in and said, I'm 66, because I got her age wrong. Maybe she was 62. And she said, you know, Mike, I've got a little bit of money in the bank in my 401k. I don't yet own my house outright. What I'm worried about is retirement. Not that she's not going to have enough. She was worried about the cash flow in retirement, because the traditional way of retiring is you take all your money, you stick it in your 401k, you stick it in the stock market. The problem becomes is every time you take money out in order to live on that money, your base can't grow anymore because you've taken away from your ability to grow. So what we did is we bought her 3 rental properties, a duplex or 3 rental units, a duplex and a single family home. I know that those rents today are right at $5,000 a month. Is she still paying the bank? Of course. But as soon as that bank is paid off, now that $5,000 a month, she can just keep it, and she never has to sell the house. She never has to touch her principal the way you would in the stock market. And man, $5,000 a month times 12 months in a year, that's $60,000. Supplement that with a little bit of Social Security, a little bit of 401k. Man, she's got it made. Now she has the ability and the financial independence to do whatever it is she wants to do, obviously within reason. And she started in her early 60s. So I would say with life expectancies today into the mid-70s, unfortunately for me, I turn 40 tomorrow. So my birthday is tomorrow, and I don't know how I quite feel about turning 40 yet. But, you know, with life expectancies in the mid-70s now, 20 years from now, they may be in the mid-80s. So, you know, if you're 80 years old, getting started is probably not going to happen. But, you know, if you're still out there working every day, there is still time to get started. And I think it is a fantastic way to supplement or plan for your retirement.
Some people will talk, and I've heard you say this before, you've had conversations with financial planners, and they will disagree with you that buying rental property is better than putting money in a 401k or investing in the stock market.
Yes, they do.
I need you to explain to people so they can hear it again. Not that you don't invest in the stock market.
Yes.
But the rate of return works a whole lot better. Explain that to them.
So financial planners, and my father was a financial planner, and I'll use a story with him. But financial planners argue with me because they say, well, you get a better return in the stock market than you do on real estate. Which is true if you look at just top-line appreciation. Stocks typically go up more than top-line appreciation in real estate. But if you use leverage, get a loan is what all leverage is. If you use the banks and the financial institutions and the way the system is set up for us all, if you use that to your advantage, then you can, you know, because if you, the way it works is you can borrow 80 cents on the dollar. So if you put 20% down, you're borrowing 80 cents on the dollar. And if you use leverage to your advantage, you literally crush anything the stock market can do. Now, financial planners look at me and say, well, leverage is really, really scary. And I look at them and say, yeah, but at least I can knock on my wall. I own that wall. I have some control over it. I don't necessarily trust the stock market because I have no control over those guys. And if you buy targeted, smart, sniper approach investments and you use leverage, use the bank, you can make five times your dollar, which you simply can't do in the stock market. My father, this was around about 2011, calls me and says, hey, Mike, I'm going to buy a rental property. And my dad's been a financial planner for, at this point, 35 years. And I was like, Dad, good for you. Where? And he goes, my next door neighbor's house. And I said, oh, please, Dad, don't do that. And he said, why? It's a great deal. And he was right. Financially, fantastic deal. And I said, Dad, because one of two things is going to happen. Number one, you're going to give yourself a bleeding ulcer every time you drive by that property and see the grass isn't cut, or they're not raking the leaves, or there's six cars out in front of the house. Or they're going to be 10 seconds late on rent. You're going to go over there with a gun demanding rent, and you're going to get yourself thrown in jail. Please, 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 please don't do that. I talked him out of it. 2012, he bought a rental property in Aurora, but like Evans and Chambers, or excuse me, Iliff and Chambers. We sold it in 2016. He made $100,000 on the growth on this house. And the compliment I got was, maybe there is something to this real estate thing.
Maybe.
Like, come on, Dad. That's all I get. And then, you know, to your question, he had said, if I was a younger man, I would put all my money into this because this works. I've seen it now.
So go back to leverage for a second. You were talking about the $6,500 that you originally put into your first rental unit.
Yep.
And today, what does that $6,500 represent? So I'm not looking at hard numbers, but I mean, that's an example of how leverage works.
Yeah. So I borrowed $6,800 from my mom, 2001. Today, if I were to sell that house minus realtor fees and the bank that I owe, I would probably clear around $200,000 with the start when it started out with $6,800. You literally can't do that in the stock market. It simply cannot be done. And that does not take into account the fact that I make $300 a month positive cash flow.
I was going to bring that up.
On that rental.
You're not spending any more money.
No, no.
Like the stock market or any other investment, you got to keep throwing money at it for it to go.
Yep.
You're not spending anything else. It's just growing on its own.
It's growing on its own. And people get really worried about timing and they say, well, you know, I don't have enough time. Time is on your side. People really worry about the economy. Well, the economy's going to crash. You know what happens when the economy crashes? Things are on sale. Let's buy more.
Well, a financial planner will tell you the same thing. When the market's down.
They will.
That's when you buy more. Why? Because at that point, they want to talk about leveraging what you got
exactly.
by buying it for less, which cuts the cost of all your stocks down.
Right. The difference is that if you use the bank's leverage, you can expand your dollar, and your dollar just goes farther than it can. You know, if you have $1, that's all you can buy a stock with, $1. But if you have $1, you can buy $5 worth of real estate. And that's a fantastic way to look at it.
What makes you the expert? Besides the fact that you own how many homes?
I have 38 rental units now.
Besides the fact you have 38 rentals, kind of tell us what makes you the expert.
So from a cultural, philosophical standpoint at Atlas, all we do is buy homes. Probably 65-70% of our business is with investors. The largest homeowner in America, which is a big corporate conglomerate. We do all of their buying in the Colorado area. We have literally done thousands of transactions and placed millions of dollars in investor funds. But before we place your money as Mr. and Mrs. Investor, we do it with our own money first. The idea is I will never tell you this is a good deal for you, but man, it's not a good deal for me. Or it's a great deal for me, but it's not a good deal for you. We lead by example. I buy first. I was an investor before I was a property manager. I was an investor before I was a broker. I do it with my money first, and I've been kicked in the teeth plenty of times, and we try to guide you away from getting kicked in the teeth so that we can make money long-term, and we'll guide you, and we want a partner. You own the house, but we want a partnership with you. We want to walk that walk with you while you're making your money, while you're growing your portfolio, all that you own, and we do it as your partner, and come alongside us that you can go be a doctor, be a secretary, be a lawyer, be a clerk, do whatever it is you do, we'll take care of the real estate for you.
Well, thank you. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk to the guest you brought in. Her name's Jennifer, and she's going to explain what she's gone through. But right now, this is Haystack Help Radio, and Michael Hills, who works at Atlas Real Estate, 720-220-8500, and we'll be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Hi, this is Scott Whatley. Now, many times you hear your radio host like me say something like, let me tell you about my friends at, then we'll talk about a sponsor that we truly believe in and endorse. Well, in this case, let me tell you about a company that really is part of my family, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. For over 13 years, we have trusted our furry family members to this wonderful staff. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe that all pets deserve to have a good life, and their goal is to help you keep your pets happy and healthy throughout their life by providing complete pet care services every day, all at one location. We love the Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center Boarding Lodge, and your pet will too. Your pet will receive one-on-one care and attention throughout their stay. Open 7 days a week for your convenience. Check them out. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, located at 8681 Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. 303-708-8050. 303-708-8050. Or check them out online at lonetreevet.com.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Well, welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. This is Kurt Rogers. I'm your host today. Scott's off in Alaska, and our guest is Michael Hills from Atlas Real Estate. His phone number is 720-220-8500. And I just want to remind everybody, Michael has a free, he calls it a conversation. You can come by. He has a little bit of wine, has a little bit of beer, and he sits down and he kind of explains more in depth of what we're going over now. And Michael's our host, and he brought a guest with us.
Yeah, my guest today is Jen Reinhart. Jen works with us at Atlas. She's a broker, but the amazing part of her story is who she is and what it's provided for her family by drinking the Kool-Aid that we all think is delicious when it comes to this rental game.
It's not. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Do us a favor. Tell us how you got introduced to Michael and how you started to work for him.
I have been a broker for about 15 years. I worked for a commercial firm and learned all about cap rates and different things like that. And Matt Voss from Atlas Real Estate Group bought one of my listings. And when the commercial firm shut down, I went to move to Atlas. And I met Mike. I had a lot of experience in event planning and building up workshops for investors.
Right.
And when I heard his presentation, I wanted to work with him and build that with him.
Okay, so how did you get into your first home? What were you doing at that time? How did that happen?
When my daughter was little, we had a little house on a cul-de-sac in Centennial. I purchased it for about $170 at the time. I got married. We moved into a really big house. And then when I got divorced, I moved back into the little house. Luckily, I still had it. At that time, it was worth about $120,000, so I had lost money. I was in the Cherry Creek School District. It was a real safe neighborhood, but I was so unhappy there, and the house was so small. So I decided to buy another house in Denver, and I'm just stubborn, and I didn't want to lose my money that I put into the house, and so I rented it out for about what I owed on it, and I moved.
So do you still own both of those homes?
I do.
Okay. So you now have two rentals or one rental?
I had one rental. My credit was damaged, and so I was repairing that. I had a rent-to-own scenario, so I had taken all my money and put it into this house, and I got to live next to my best friend, and we took the fence down, and our kids were being raised together. And while I was there, the homes both started to appreciate, and so I started to gain some wealth there. And that was before I had met Michael and about when I had started at Atlas Real Estate Group.
Okay.
So when did the light go off for you? At what point were you in this process that you said, wait a second, there's something here?
Well, when the house started to appreciate, when I first had my rental, it wasn't making any money. I had just kept it because I didn't want to lose the down payment that I had put into it. So it started making money. And when the economy went back up, I had my house locked in at $155,000. And then it was worth $250,000. So I was like, oh, okay. So this house is worth $100,000 more than I locked it in a few years ago. This is way easier than working. Right? It was working for me. So when my best friend, she decided to move to Stapleton, I couldn't follow her to Stapleton because her house was $700,000. I used some of the equity that I had in my Denver house and I moved to Littleton. So now I have three houses.
And you live in one and rent the two?
I live in one and rent the two, and the first two pay for the third one.
And that was kind of a question I was going to ask. When you had the house that had lost value, it was only value on paper. Because you were living in it, you needed a place to stay, so you're just making your payments, right?
Correct.
But it wasn't necessarily costing you anything.
No, the renters were making the payment, so I wasn't losing money. It just didn't do any good for me. I was just keeping it because I didn't want to lose my down payment, and it came back up. So
you now have three properties, and you said two of them are paying for the third.
Correct, and I'm about to get a fourth property, which is amazingly beautiful. I'm so excited.
That's got a big smile. You got to explain that fourth property.
Dream house.
It's in Kincarrow Ranch, and so there's a pool and six tennis courts and five bedrooms and three bathrooms, and it's just amazing that I'm able to live in a house and buy a house like that. I'm so excited. My kids are excited. So
when you were going through this process, what were some of the apprehensions and fears you have that got disproved or that you were able to get past? You know, people always have fears about having a rental, like you said, and the market crashing and they're losing money. How did you get past those things? How did they help you out?
Well, I think that we all have a little bit of resistance in our lives. Like even right now buying the next house, I'm like, oh, well, what if the economy crashes or what if I fail again? And so then I have all of these fail safes, right? Like, well, I could Airbnb and I can do all this and I have all the knowledge. But I think that if you write down what you want in your life, that's what got me through it, right? And having a really good team around me. They have 2,600 rental properties. They know how to manage properties. I'm not going to get in trouble. I have savings. I have equity in my homes. And what the real estate does for you, it gives you time, right? Like I can create my own schedule. I can take my daughter to her doctor's appointments. I have my son in private school. I can go to yoga four times a week if I want to, right? Like, so the freedoms that I have is worth, you just have to jump.
It gives you residual income.
It gives me residual income, but it is scary. Like, I still get scared.
That's just human nature, right?
The one thing that I want to make sure that everybody knows is that Jen is a single mom taking care of two kids, owns three houses and buying four. That sentence is an amazing story.
That is.
And I'm sure there are single parents out there thinking, well, how can I do this myself? And Jen has done it. You can do it, too. You can do it if you hook up with the right team and just get the right coaching.
No. And it will do no harm at all to attend that workshop. It's not a workshop. It's a conversation.
Just a class. Yeah, absolutely.
Just come and sit down.
Come in sandals and shorts and have a beer. And Michael does not ask you to buy anything. He's not there to sell anything. He just kind of goes more in depth on how this works. Landlord. It doesn't sound like you're a landlord.
I am a landlord. However, I work for a property management firm. So I'm a broker and I'm an owner, and I have lots of support around me.
So you also offer the service of being a landlord.
Yeah, so one of the things that we offer to our clients is we are a one-stop shop. So many people out there, they'll sell you an investment and they shake your hand on any investment. Shake your hand and say, hey, you know, Kurt, good luck. What we do from a real estate perspective is we'll sell you a deal, but we won't just sell it to you. We will manage it for you. Now, if you want to manage it yourself, fine. You know, you can manage it yourself. We'll totally allow you. It's not like you have to use us. But what we do is say, look, if you allow us to, we will take the burden of being a landlord off of your plate. We will take it off your plate and we will be a landlord or we'll be your property manager. We'll take care of all issues for you so that, again, you can go back to being whoever it is you are. You can be your lawyer, be your doctor, be your secretary, be your clerk, be whatever. And we will take care of all the headaches of the property management because so many people inherently know that buying rentals is good. I mean, the word landlord has been around since feudal times. It's 1,000 years old.
Right.
It's been around forever. But man, people start thinking like, "Whoa, I don't want to fix a toilet at 2 o'clock in the morning. What happens if my tenants make that call to me?" Well, we'll step in and take that call for you.
Okay. Question just came to mind. What's the biggest mistake property investors make?
I think there's three major mistakes that people make. First and foremost is they get the wrong kind of loans. They simply don't finance them properly. And let me give you an example. I have a friend who in the late 90s started buying real estate. In the early 2000s, he continued to buy real estate. And by 2008, he owned 15 or 20 single family homes. The problem was is that every single one of these homes had appreciated in value, but he had them all on interest only loans. And he was living on the cash flow. So the cash flow, you know, at that time, I'm going to make the numbers up. Let's say the rent was $1,500 and the mortgage payment was $1,000. It was an interest-only mortgage payment, so he was making $500 per house. But do that 15 or 20 times, that's a pretty good income. So he was doing that, but then the crash happened in 2008, and what happened was now people, the interest rates were going up, rents compressed, rents were not going up at all, so now he couldn't cover his mortgage payments anymore. And he didn't have the income anymore because that was his full-time job managing those properties. So he got pinched. He got pinched on the value of his home. So now he couldn't sell them. He couldn't refinance them because he wasn't making any money. He wasn't paying down his debt, and it all crashed and burned for him. So financing is key number one. If you get poor financing, which is why Kurt's here, you know, if you get poor financing, that's a mistake. I think number two, betting on the come. And what I mean by that is people speculating. You know, I meet lots of people that call me and say, hey, you know, I'm going to buy a piece of real estate in St. Louis, Missouri. And I ask them the same questions, like, great, what do you know about the city? And they start to hem and haw, and I say, name me three streets in the city of St. Louis, and ABC or 123 don't count. And they can't do it because they're speculating. They just simply don't know. They're trying to get lucky, trying to catch lightning in a bottle. And if you're speculating, man, let's just go to Vegas. It's way more fun, and, you know, we'll gamble because that's all you're really doing. What we say is use a laser-targeted, focused approach. One of the reasons I invest in the Colorado market, the I-25 corridor, if you will, from Denver to Colorado Springs, is I love the 20-year picture. I love our weather. I like our government. Whether you're red or blue, we have a very mild government in this state. I like our school systems. Yeah, Denver, you know, DPS isn't the greatest, but it's better than Chicago. It's better than LA. It's better than Seattle. It's better than Dallas. Better than Philadelphia. We have decent school systems. I like our charter school systems. I like our infrastructure. I like the fact that Google and Lockheed Martin and Charles Schwab and all these companies are moving their headquarters here. They're moving people here. They're moving professionals here. That drives real estate values up. It drives rent values up, and it helps with the long-term picture. I don't trust St. Louis 20 years from now. You know where I do trust is Denver. I don't trust Sacramento. I don't really trust, you know, anywhere in Montana or anywhere like Salt Lake City, maybe, but positive migration. That's one of the things we look for. We have a big positive migration in Colorado. As we all know, go drive on I-25 and see the positive migration. Mm-hmm. What does that do? Drives rents up, drives values up. And those are the kinds of things that we look for. And that's why I won't speculate and gamble on buying one house in a city that I know nothing about because I read an article in the Wall Street Journal that, hey, you know, Cincinnati's hot. Well, it might be, but I don't know anything about Cincinnati. And flying there to take care of one property gets really expensive really fast.
Okay. We're going to come back. We'll come back to number three. And we want to talk about where that laser focus, in what areas of Denver that might work.
Yes, sir.
Again, Michael Hills from Atlas Real Estate. You can call him at 720-220-8500. Or you can actually give him a call at that number and sign up to come to his next event, which is next the 31st.
Tuesday.
I believe it is Tuesday, 6:30. He's right next to the Denver Aquarium. I believe the address on that is 2345 7th Street. And we'll be right back.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
You were injured in an accident. You went to the doctor and you thought your insurance would cover it. But that was before you realized how the insurance company actually works. And before you knew how long your pain would really last. So now you're stuck with a bunch of bills that you can't afford. And the nagging pain has been keeping you up all night, making you feel like you're going to lose your mind every day. You are not alone. There is an answer. Call Flesh & Beck Injury Attorneys. Flesh & Beck have the experience and the knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. If you've been injured in an accident, call Flesh & Beck Injury Law at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation to find out if Flesh & Beck can help you get the compensation that you deserve.
Do not try to navigate the maze of Medicare on your own, because confusion can be costly. Group insurance analysts will lay out your options in a clear, thorough manner so you don't make a mistake. Unless you do your research, you could get stuck with a Medicare plan that doesn't work for you. As independent brokers, group insurance analysts will do the research for you so you get the best possible premiums. They'll check the networks so you keep your current doctor, and they'll find a prescription drug plan that provides the most coverage for your medications. You won't get this kind of personalized expert advice anywhere else. Furthermore, Group Insurance Analysts provides Medicare recommendations at no cost to you, the customer. Call today so that Group Insurance Analysts may put together an easy-to-understand report tailored to fit your needs in retirement. 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Again, my name is Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage, and my guest today is Michael Hills from Atlas Realty. Now, Michael, before the break, we were talking about three reasons that investors make mistakes. The first two has my name to. I hope the third one does it. But what's the third biggest mistake investors make?
The third biggest mistake that investors make is needing the cash flow, the positive cash flow from their rentals in order to pay their own bills. That they get to a point where, man, if that one or two houses that they have, if that $500 a month doesn't come in, they get pinched. They don't have enough money to cover their own bills. And I always advise people, breakdowns are going to happen. Maintenance is going to happen. Make sure you have a rainy day fund. Make sure you have a little piggy bank to take that money out of there, because it's going to happen. Even if you don't speculate, which is a huge mistake, even if you have the right financing on it, which is probably the number one mistake people make, you have to have a little bit of reserve. You have to have some cash reserve. You have to have just a little bit of money to plan for that rainy day, because it will happen. It's going to happen. My wife and I talk a lot about this. Our school systems don't spend a lot of time on financial education, and we have four little kids. So one of the things that we do is we have a house with each one of our kids that's their college fund, and they know, my kids know which house is theirs. So I'll say, hey, I got to get some rent. And they'll say, are we going to Zach's house? Are we going to Zaylee's house? And it's hysterical, because we're teaching them about financial planning from a very early age. We're teaching them about savings. And, you know, my wife's name is Kellen, and Kellen and I spend just a lot of time making sure that they are aware of all of the pitfalls in life and making sure that you're planning for that rainy day. In their case, we're planning for their college already, and my oldest daughter is 7 years old. So these are little kids, but it's good to start.
You had talked earlier about buying homes as a financial investment.
Yes.
Investment. And what came to my mind is, if I'm going to put money in the stock market and I'm going to invest, I don't get to keep any of that money that I make every month.
Correct.
So taking the money out of my investment property is kind of the same thing. If we treat it more as an investment and put the money to the side to take care of those downtimes.
Yep.
But there's something that investment property does, unlike the stock market, because you're making it on two different ends, where in the stock market, you make it on one.
Yep.
Explain those two different ends.
So I tell people there's actually three ways you make money on real estate. First way is just the positive cash flow on the rent. Let's say your mortgage payment is $1,200 and your mortgage payment or your rental payment is from the tenants is $1,700. You're making $500 a month, which is $6,000 a year. Which $6,000 a year is not overly meaningful, but if you do that four or five or six times, it gets very meaningful very
grand.
Quickly. Right. Number two is every time you make that mortgage payment to the bank, you are buying a little bit more of your house. And you're not the one paying for it.
Right.
The tenants are the one paying for it, which is huge. And then number three, if you buy, again, laser-focused, targeted investments in good areas that will appreciate. Man, one of my rentals, it's in Virginia Village. I bought it in 2002. Virginia Village is over, if anybody knows where Colorado Boulevard and I-25, there's that big Dave & Buster's right there.
Right.
I bought this house for $235,000. Today it's worth about $500,000. I lived in that house. I think I put $15,000 down. I think today I owe maybe $100,000 on it. So if I were to sell it today, I'd walk away with, for easy math, let's call it $400,000 on a $15,000 investment. Now, I've owned it for, 16 years? But so what? That's still, you cannot replicate that kind of money in the stock market. It simply cannot be done.
Even if you're not taking the monthly positive cash flow, the reason you have that is because you were paying down the loan.
Yes.
And it went the other way.
Exactly.
So that money you invested all of a sudden starts to magnify.
The money starts to magnify. And on top of that, I make $400 a month on that property, which again, $400 a month times 12 months in a year is $4,800. Kind of big deal, because there's maintenance and stuff that has to come out of that $4,800. But so what? Because if I were to sell that property, man, that's a nice chunk of cash.
So let me ask, if you were to, under what circumstances would you need to refinance a property? You've got a 15-year on it. That's yep. The ideal. But under what circumstances would you feel a need?
So let me give you an example. I refinanced one of my properties June 12th of this year. And I bought a property a year ago. It was a little condo over by Buckley Air Force Base, basically Mississippi and Buckley, if that makes sense to those listening, in Aurora. And I bought this house, a little two-bedroom, two-bath condo, and the house was destroyed on the inside. I bought it for $75,000. When it was all said and done, I had about $100,000 into it, and I paid cash. So I paid $75,000 in cash, $25,000 into it. That $25,000 did cover the wholesaler fee, because it was a wholesale deal, never actually hit the market. Bought the house, fixed it up, put a tenant in there on August 1st of last year. Now, I owned the house for 12 consecutive months. I closed May 31st of 2017. By June 1st, 2018, I've now owned the house for 12 consecutive months. And that number is really important, because now the real estate has what's called seasoned. So I went to my banker and I refinanced and I pulled, so your question is about refinancing, I refinanced 75% of the value of the home because the loan has now seasoned. So if you do not season a home, you can get 75% of the cost.
Of the original.
Of the cost, yeah, the purchase price plus the rehab cost.
Right.
In my case, that'd be $100,000, so I could have refinanced and pulled $75,000 out. But I waited 12 months, so now I can pull 75% of the value of the home. The value of the home, it appraised for $175,000. So I pulled $130,000 in cash out of that house, put it on a 15-year mortgage. I'm only making $85 a month because I have tenants in there with the HOA costs, because it's a condo, HOA costs plus the mortgage. I make $85 a month. But I put $100 in, I pulled out $130. So I made a 30% return, cash on cash, just on the investment, tax-free, because it's not income, because it's a refinance, plus the rent that I've been making for the last 10 months. In those situations, I will refinance, because now I've got cash and I can go do it again. So I've used my own money to create more money so that I can continue to build my little mini empire. I'm just playing Monopoly, and that's all we're doing.
And so, I'm sorry. And so one of the things that you said earlier was condo versus house. Is there a reason you would lean one direction or another, Jennifer? Lean one direction or another on a condo versus a house?
When we work with investors, we sit down and talk with them about their goals, and then we figure out what cap rate they want to make back. And when you add in an HOA payment on the pro forma, it lowers the cap rate substantially. It's a lot more difficult to make money on a condo unless you get a deal like Mike.
Yeah.
Condos, HOAs make things tough. Expensive HOAs. You know, if you live in Highlands Ranch and you have a quarterly HOA of $150, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But you know, if you live in a condo or a townhouse or some of these places downtown that they're building where the HOAs are $400 and $500 a month
and constantly going up.
It's really, really tough to make money. So as a general rule, we try to stay away from townhouses and condos unless you can get a really, really smoking deal on it. Then we'll buy it. But from a general rule, the HOA is just eating into your cash flow too much.
Yeah, we were talking, you'd mentioned laser focus.
Uh-huh.
Because you're trying to find that property that works. Some are here, some aren't here. Explain what areas that are still left in Denver metro area or other parts of Colorado that you think are laser-focused areas that might be worth something.
Yeah, so far this year, Jen and I have done, I don't know how many transactions, but it's been a lot. And I know we bought 7 quadplexes, so 7 4-unit apartments, so 28 units all in a row in Lafayette. We met one owner. It's actually 2 owners that had these 7 units. We bought them from he and his small conglomerate of investors in Lafayette. Why do we like Lafayette? The numbers were good, but there's a lot of building going on in Lafayette. It's good school districts. It's 10 minutes from Boulder and 15 minutes from downtown Denver, pretty close to Highway 36. So there's areas like that that we really like. Anywhere where there is urban infill, you know, if you say Colfax to people in Colorado, let's be honest, they think hookers and drug needles.
Correct.
You know, but we've been buy heavy over in Aurora North, Aurora North being the really sketchy part of Aurora.
Right.
But we've been buy heavy for 4 years close to the hospitals. Why? Colorado Medical, what's the name of the hospital? But there's the VA, Colorado Children's Hospital,
Children's,
and the CU Medical Center over on Aurora, like Colfax and 225. That stuff is urban infill. It creates jobs. It creates wealth. It brings property values up. Why does it bring property values up? Because it brings high-level jobs and nurses and medical sales and doctors and everything that goes with that, and it drives real estate values up. And we've been buy-heavy over there for 4 years, and our clients, I bought a house over there. Our clients that have bought over there have really experienced some serious appreciation, some growth. I bought a house over there in 2013 for $125,000, and I could probably sell it today for close to $300,000 because it's doubled in value. So we look for areas over there. Traditionally, we like anything on the west side of town. Why do we like the west side of town? Because there's mountains in the way. And mountains create a barrier to entry. You just can't build more because there's giant mountains in the way. So we really like that kind of stuff. Boulder anywhere where there's jobs, anywhere where there's easy access, anywhere where there's good schools. You know, we really like Cherry Creek School District because that drives value up, because it's a benefit that families really get value out of. So we really like those kinds of things.
Now we know why you're the expert.
Yeah.
It's not just something you come and do.
No, it's something that we live, and I think that's why people like myself, people like working with Jen and like working with us at Atlas, because, like I said, we do this with our money first. And
can I tell them what we do with the buildings?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we got those buildings in Lafayette, the rents were really, really low, because when an individual owns a building for a long time, they don't owe very much money on it, and so they don't think to raise the rent. They just don't want to be bothered with it.
Right.
So these places were about $600 below market rent. So we went in and we raised the rents, we rehabbed the buildings, and it's basically commercial real estate. When your rents are up, your value is up by the building. And right. So just by doing that, we made our investors so much money. Like, it's just...
You raised the value by doing...
I raised the value of the building.
By raising the rent.
By raising the rent and making it... And then we're impacting the community, because now they have a nice place to live. It's still affordable. And everything that they need is done, right? Like, if anything breaks, we fix it right away. It's a high-integrity business.
What is important is that we don't just walk into the tenants and say, okay, your rent was $800, now it's going to be $1,100. One of the things that we routinely do is we go in and say, okay, look, market rents are higher. And people know this. When their building is getting sold, they expect this. But we try to do it with the dignity and grace that people deserve. And we go in and say, okay, your rent has to go up. But what is the one thing in this house that you have been living with that needs to be fixed, that drives you crazy, that your current landlord won't fix? And half the time people say, man, if you could get me a new stove, I'll give you a hug right now.
Or carpeting,
or fix a leak, or my dishwasher's broken. So we'll look at people like, a new stove, done. Expect it in 3 days. Yeah. And people look at us and say, really? You're willing to do that for me? Yeah. And the answer is yes. And why do we do that? Because we want people to really enjoy the house that they live in. And let's be honest, if people enjoy the house they live in and they trust us as the property managers, then they stay. And you know what the number one cost in all of property management really
turnover.
Is?
Vacancy.
Vacancy, yeah. So people, man, if you can get your tenants to stay, if you can treat them with like human beings, with the dignity and respect that they deserve, they will stay. I mean, think back to everybody listening. Think back to when you rented. Most people, like 70% of people, leave the house that they're living in because they hate their landlord. Their landlord lies to them. Their landlord won't fix any issues. Their landlord's a jerk. Their landlord shows up unannounced, which is against the law. Their landlord, you know, jams them for a late fee when they're one day late on rent. People move because they can't stand their landlords. And if we can flip that on its head, if we can give them, you know, just a little bit different treatment than they're expecting, then they will stay. And if they stay, it keeps costs down. They're happy. Our owners are happy. We're happy. Everybody's happy. Philosophy at Atlas is if you win and we win and I win, everybody wins, and that's a good thing.
Great observation.
Great. And again, your classes are the last Tuesday of every month at 6:30, right across from the aquarium.
Yes, sir.
It'd be perfect. Pick up the phone and call 720-220-8500. Reserve yourself a space. And when we come back, Mike's going to explain how you can actually buy rental property with very little money down. And most people don't know how that's done.
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. Since 2004, it's been our mission to provide the highest quality of service and trust to every customer we serve. M4 Roofing and Gutters is a family-owned and operated company right here in Englewood, Colorado. At M4 Roofing and Gutters, quality customer service is our top priority. For a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project, call today 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and haystackhelp.com.
Hi, this is Scott Whatley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Well, welcome back to the final segment of Haystack Help Radio. Again, my name's Kurt Rogers, and our host today, our guest today, is Michael Hills from Atlas Real Estate, Bob Koff from Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Yeah, baby.
And Jen
Reinhardt
from Atlas Real Estate. We were talking about investment properties, and what a lot of people feel and think is, I need a lot of money down to make this work.
That is correct, and it's totally not true.
Okay. Explain to them what you teach on these classes you have on Tuesday.
Again, I'll use a real-world example. I have a client. He and his wife called me. It was 2 years ago. They wanted to buy a new house. They wanted to get into the Cherry Creek School District. The house that they lived in was in Aurora. They wanted to buy a new house, also in Aurora, but they wanted to switch school districts because their daughter was, this was fall of 2016, in September of 2017, so about a year ago, she was going to start kindergarten, their oldest daughter, so they wanted to get into the Aurora School District, or excuse me, the Cherry Creek School District, but they wanted to stay in Aurora. And I asked, well, hey, why don't we keep your current house and rent it? And I'm a realtor. I get paid to sell people's houses. And they said, well, we can't afford to buy a new house unless we sell our current house, which is the way many people think. So we did some exploring, and sure enough, the husband in this couple is in the Army Reserve. He was a Army vet, and he has what's called a VA loan. VA loan is zero money down on a down payment. So instead of doing this, we, what I call financially engineered, we refinanced out of his VA loan for his current house, turned that into a rental, and he now used his VA loan, because he was now no longer using it, to buy himself a new house in the school district that he wants. So he and his wife now have one rental and a single family home. Oh, and guess what? They've now owned that house through two more years of cycles, and it's probably gone up somewhere between $30,000 and $50,000, because they didn't sell, and they got that appreciation on two different homes.
Same time.
They've diversified their income, their homes. They've increased their growth. Oh, and they make a couple hundred bucks a month on the rent that they're getting from their house that they were dead set on selling because they decided to work with us. Now, if you don't have a VA loan, then how do you do this without a VA loan? Well, you do it the way I did it, the way Jen did it, the way many people do it. When I first started, I had no money. I graduated from the University of Denver in 2001, had literally $0 to my name. I owed student loans about $25,000. I bought my first house because I had a gift letter for my mom, like I told you earlier, for $6,800. A year later, when you sign that note on a primary residence, when you're going to live there, you're agreeing to live in the house for 12 months, 1 year. So that is exactly what I did. I lived in that house for a little more than 12 months. I went and bought a second house with as little money down as possible. I think I put 3.5% or 4% down, maybe 5% on the second one. And then I did that again a year and a half later, and I did it again a year and a half later, and I think I did it again like 4 years after that. So by 2008, I think I had 5 properties. My father at the time, my wife and I had just gotten married. My father calls me at the time and says, you know, son, this is all great. I don't understand this rental thing that you're doing. The market's going to crash. And when it does, you are totally hosed. And he was right. The market crashed. What he was wrong about is that I was totally hosed. Because what I fundamentally couldn't understand is if my wife and I are living in one house and we're renting the other houses out and we don't sell, then we'll just wait.
How'd you lose money? You did.
We didn't. We just waited. So fast forward till today, we still have those houses. 2 of those houses we actually sold because we sold those to buy a new primary residence and an apartment complex. So we've sold that money. And all those years that we weren't, quote, making money because the value of the houses had dropped, we're still making money every month because the tenants are paying us. We're making a little bit of positive cash flow, and we're reducing our debt every single month. So we just use time on our side. And is the economy going to crash, you know, in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, the way experts are saying? I don't know. And they don't know either. Nobody has a crystal ball. If you do have a crystal ball, let's go to Vegas. It'll be a lot of fun. But the honest answer is we don't know. But if you use laser-focused, targeted purchasing and you buy today and hold for the long term. And when I say long term, most Americans think long term like 24 months. I'm buying as though I'm never going to sell. Do I sell? Sure.
It's college education for your kids.
It's college education. Yeah, it's college education. It's retirement for my wife and I. You know, it's all of these things. But will I sell? Sure, someday. But I promise you it's not going to be in the next couple of years unless there's a really good reason, and that really good reason tends to come with a lot of zeros behind it. Then maybe I'll sell. But, you know, I buy as though I'm never going to sell. But you can, you know, using owner-occupied is really what it's called, owner-occupied rents, very, very low down payments. The federal government sets these rules up for all of us to play by. Unfortunately, most people never learn these rules. And if you learn these rules and use them to your advantage, you become the bank. And when you do that, we all know that banking institutions make lots and lots and lots of money. So if we use those to our advantage, we can flip the system on its head, use it to our advantage, and make ourselves a lot of money instead of paying the bank.
If you want to learn more, give Michael a call at 720-220-8500. Get a seat for the next class on the 31st of this month.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, it's right across the street from the Denver Aquarium. It's free. Come over, have a glass of wine, have a conversation, because that's all it is. You're not there to sell anything. You just give the education. If they want to use you, that's fine. You kind of explain the whole system. There's another one that you can explain that we talk about duplexes and the power of a duplex or a fourplex. And what you can really do, especially if it's your first home.
Yep. We have clients that will buy a fourplex, what's called a quadplex, live in one of them, use the rents on the other three, and it pays their mortgage.
And they have no mortgage.
If I knew this when I first started, my first purchases would all have been multifamily, but I didn't know this because nobody taught me.
And you'll cover more of this at the next class.
Yeah, and I would tell you that right now I have a client who is doing just that. Yeah, he's in his young 20s.
Yeah.
He and his wife have been very diligent about saving enough to put down, but that's what they bought, was a fourplex.
Again, Michael, thank you very much. Thanks for coming along, Jen. And for all of those that listen, you can contact Michael at 720-220-8500. Thanks for listening to Haystack. Have a great week.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.